All right. So Ephesians chapter 3, and as in all of Scripture, the book of Ephesians is overflowing with spiritual truth. In many ways, it touches on many different concepts, positionally of who we are in Christ, and how that should affect us here on earth practically. And there's much to be gleaned from the book of Ephesians. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he actually wrote a commentary on Ephesians, and it was 8 volumes long. So you realize that there's much to learn from this. And we want to look at Ephesians chapter 3. If you wanted to kind of get an idea of it, Ephesians 3 is in some ways the climax of the whole book of Ephesians. So let's begin reading Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again that we can gather around your word this morning. We thank you for this building that we have that we can gather together in, Lord, and we pray that you would just bless, Lord, open up our understanding to this passage, help us to apply it to our lives, help that we may see what is this fellowship of the mystery, Lord, that we might be filled with all of your fullness, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Paul begins this chapter, "I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." And it is something we understand that when he wrote the epistle to the Ephesians, that he was a prisoner, that he was in Rome, he was under house arrest, and he did not have his liberty. But it's interesting the phrasing that he uses, because he doesn't say, "I, Paul, the prisoner of Rome." He doesn't say, "I, Paul, the prisoner because of Jesus Christ." He says, "I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ." And it's the sense that we have that he was bound unto Christ to preach his name no matter what the consequences to himself. And there was this power that was binding him far greater than any chains ever could, that he was bound to follow the Lord no matter what the consequences. We see this idea given by Paul in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 22, and this was just prior to him going up to Jerusalem, where he was arrested and all the events that led to his coming to Rome as a prisoner. It says, Acts 20, verse 22, "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." And so we see that he was being faithful in the ministry God had given him. It was an honor to be a prisoner of the Lord. That his imprisonment really was not stopping him from fulfilling his ministry. That even though he was chained to a soldier, he still had his one hand free to write with. He still was ministering. We don't know for sure. It seems in many ways that he might have just dictated to someone for them to write down so that they could get it out. That even though he was bound, the word of the Lord was not. And the Lord was using him still. And we see verse 2, "If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me to you ward." And as that thought, dispensation speaks of stewardship, that he was given this and he was accountable to it. And it's the same with us, that we're held accountable to God for the light and to the truth that God has given us. It's required in stewards that a man has been found faithful. And he was dispensed a measure of the grace of God. And it was to them, to minister unto them. And we understand that's how the Lord's grace is. He gives it to us for a reason. He gives it to minister to others on His behalf. And that's the thought that we have, that the grace of God has been given to us, and it's not to be taken for granted. We realize that God saved us. He was merciful unto us. Through Christ, He gave us new life, and He gave us a new purpose. And He now gives us, by His grace, the power to minister for Him, we who were sinners, we who had no right to even stand before Him, that now we are declared holy in His sight and we are able to be witnesses for Him. And we see how that, it says, verse 3, "How that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words." That God was putting forth a truth that was heretofore unknown. It was a mystery, something that was cloudy, something that was not explained. And we see this spoken of in many places in the New Testament. But we have that idea of a mystery. In our own thoughts, we always, I think many of us enjoy a good mystery where there's something that's happened or something that we don't quite understand and we want to get to the bottom of it. We're waiting for the last chapter. Sometimes we even read ahead to find out because we can't wait soon enough. But that's the idea that we have, that this was a mystery, that it was spoken of, it was foreshadowed in the Old Testament, but they didn't really understand it. But it was something that now in the New Testament that Paul was bringing forth. This was the plan of God from the ages, that it made sense now that Christ had died for our sins and been risen again, but He had to bring it forth so that people could understand it. And that's what He was doing here. And so he's making it clear through His holy prophets. And it was good news, and it was something that he didn't want to keep to himself. This was something that was great that he wanted to share. We think of during the days of Elisha, where they had the siege of Samaria, and there was the four leprous men that they thought, well, we're just going to die. Let's go into this other nation is that's besieging us, and maybe we'll have some mercy to them. And they found that their tents were all deserted, and they went in and they feasted on all the food that they had. But then they said, well, it isn't good for us to keep this to ourselves. We need to go and share this with everyone else. And it's the same with Paul, that this was something that was great that he wanted to share with the Ephesians, and that he wants to share with us as well. And this thought that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of this promise in Christ by the gospel. That he spoke of this much in the previous chapter of how we who were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Just something that really it was foretold, even though it wasn't understood. We see that It is what he prophesied would happen. Isaiah chapter 42. We see this. Isaiah 42 and verse 1, it says, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." We see also verse 6, "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, them that sit in darkness out of the prison house." And that blessing that we know that all of us, and I think pretty well all of us, would put us ourselves in the category of being Gentiles, that we were far from God, that we were not of God's people, the Jews, but yet that we would be able to partake of these promises, that we, though we're not physical children of Abraham, are spiritual children of Abraham, and we inherit many of the blessings that he promised our father Abraham. And so this thought that they should be fellow heirs, and Paul, of course, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. He was made a minister, and it was according to the gift of the grace of God, that it wasn't by his own power, it wasn't of his own making himself or building himself up to be this. It was God said, "I want you to be the apostle to the Gentiles, and I'm going to equip you for that. I'm going to give you of my grace, of my power to do this." And we see that he gave him the effectual working of his power. And it's interesting, the phrase here, in the Greek, the words for effectual working is energia, of an energy. It always speaks of a supernatural energy that's given unto man. And we see the power is, the word is dunamis, from where we get our word for dynamite. This power that we have, where Jesus said that ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That this is what he wanted for them, and this is what he had, and what we want to understand, that because we have the Holy Spirit within us, that this power that he has given us, that we might do the works of God, that we might have victory over sin, that we might be witnesses for him, that we know that we can't do it in our own strength. We try to and we just stumble over our own words, but he gives us that grace that we can share our faith with someone else. We can share with them the truth of the gospel. And we see Paul refers to himself as the less of the least of all saints, because of course he persecuted the church of God. He felt himself so unworthy, but he knew it was by the grace of God that he was who he was. And it was just such a blessing that it wasn't a drudgery, it wasn't just a duty for him. It was such a joy where he thought of who he was, just where his life was going, that he was such an evil man. And yet God had cleansed him, God had saved him. And this blessing that he had, that he could share, he could preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And that is the thought, the riches of Christ, that no matter how deep we dig, we'll never find the bottom. No matter how high we climb, we can never get to the summit. That it is unsearchable. It is beyond our grasp, beyond our ability to comprehend. And that's what he seeks to share with us in this passage, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, for which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. That this was God's intent, his purpose, his design, that the principalities and powers, which we understand to be angels, both those that serve the Lord and those that were fallen, might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, by this entity that the Lord created, this church, this body of which Christ is a head, where it takes all these people from different walks of life, Jew, Gentile, bond and free, and makes them one in Christ, and makes them function together. That as a church, as it functions according to the principles of God, as it has fellowship together, that it would be demonstrated unto the angels, the manifold wisdom of God. That the angels were not redeemed. They don't have understand the redemption story that we went through, that it's something that it says in Peter that it is a thing that the angels desire to look into. But yet, it is something that we understand that the Lord has established this institution of a church to bring glory to Him, to show the wisdom of God. Because they look at it and they say, well, God, why would you go down and die as a man? Why would you have anything to do with this part of your creation? Why don't you just torch the whole earth, start over again, and just forget about them? And yet, when they see how the church functions, where these people that are redeemed, their lives have been cleansed, that they glorify God by their lives, that they see, we understand the wisdom of God, that it isn't what they would have thought He should have done, but they realize the wisdom of it. And we see that it was His eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ Jesus before any star was ever formed, before this world was sent into its rotation, that this was His eternal purpose that He purposed in Christ Jesus. It says in John 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. That was His purpose, that He wants us to have that abundant life. And we see in verse 12, it says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. And that is what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that when He died on the cross, when He said those words, it is finished, and He gave up the ghost, that the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, that barrier to the Holy of Holies was torn apart, and access was now made into that. That before, the whole thought that if anyone was to approach to God, if they were to see the face of God, they thought, well, they were going to be dead because God was holy and they were not. But yet we understand that through the Lord Jesus Christ, that now we have access to the Father, to the very throne room of God, that we have boldness and access with confidence, that we don't have to be afraid, and that we understand that because our sins have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, that we can come there and that our petitions can be answered. We understand that. It says, Ephesians 2, verse 18, just across the page, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father, both Jew and Gentile, that we both have the same access. We see this also in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That we understand that we're justified by faith. It is by the Lord's grace that we are saved. It is not of our own works. And we understand that we have access into this grace by which we stand. That the grace we need for everyday life, to serve Him, to have victory over sin, that we have boldness and access to the Heavenly Father because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did. That we can come before Him. That it speaks in Hebrews chapter 4 that we can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That it isn't something that we think that we'll go there and that we'll get a busy signal, or He'll say, well, you need to fill out this paperwork, this forms, and then I might consider it 2 or 3 months from now. That it's something that we can come right when we need it, that we can pray to the Lord and we can get that strength from Him. And so that we can continue on, that we can be faithful for Him. And so we see verse 13, it says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And he was trying to get them to see that, because it would be natural that they thought this man Paul, he was their leader, someone they looked unto, that he'd been taken prisoner, that he had lost his freedom. And so much they probably would have had the thought in their mind, well, they got him, well, we don't know what's going to happen to him. What's going to happen to us? If they were bold enough to take him prisoner, what's going to happen to us? And so they might have been fearful, and they might have thought, well, maybe we should just kind of hold back. Maybe we shouldn't be as open in things, maybe we should just try to not be as faithful as we once were, just so that this trouble doesn't come to us. But what Paul was trying to say, well, don't faint, don't worry about me. This isn't something to get discouraged about, because he saw it was all part of God's plan, and we realize that all of it was the Lord was using, because the Lord wanted him to be able to speak to Governor Felix, to Governor Festus, to King Agrippa, and to others in Rome, that it was all part of God's plan. And he said, well, don't faint, don't get discouraged. He wants them to keep going. He wants them to see this fellowship of the mystery, this purpose that the Lord had for them, that no matter what their circumstances were, that He didn't want them to miss out on what the Lord wanted for them, the Lord's plan for them. And so we see Paul's prayer: for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That this is Paul's prayer for them, and we can apply it to ourselves as well, that there is great blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that sometimes we look at our salvation as just kind of our get out of hell free card, but we realize that there's so much more that the Lord wants to share with us. And it's Paul's prayer that as a church we see that he's speaking, that He would grant you, speaking of them collectively as the church, as Christians in Ephesus, that He said that it would be according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And it's interesting, we see that phrase as well in Philippians 4, where it says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That we realize that the Lord has great riches, and when we ask Him for something, when we have a need, we could say, well, we want Him to give out of His great riches. But that thought is almost, well, He has all this amount, and we have to beg Him, and He'll just kind of take a little bit of that great amount, and He'll give it to us. But the thought, when it says according to His riches, because He has such an abundance, it's according to His riches that He gives us these things, that because He has so much, that it just, He gets a great big handful and dumps it down upon us, more than we're able even to bear, or even be able to take in. There's so much of it. And that's what we realize, the riches of His glory that He wants to share with us. Really, if we were to try to understand it fully, if we were to try to comprehend it, that I think our minds would overload or blow a circuit or something, because there's so much. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither is entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. And we see that He speaks of, that they would be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that as Christians, when we trust Christ as Savior, that His Holy Spirit comes within us, that He abides with us forever, and He's there to strengthen us for each day, to help us through each day, that to have fellowship with us within Him. And that thought, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that He would make His abode with us, that as we believe and obey in faith, that He would have that closeness with us, that's what He desires. We see this in His, what is known as His high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. John chapter 17 and verse 23. John 17:23, Jesus says, I and them, and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And we see also verse 26 of the same chapter, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved them, loved me, may be in them, and I in them. That the Lord wants to have that closeness, that He wants to dwell in our hearts, that He wants to tabernacle Himself with us. And we see also that thought that being rooted and grounded in love, that we know that God is love, that it is He is the source of it, and the thought that we are rooted and grounded in it, the thought that we can't be pulled out of it when we're rooted, that our roots go down deep, and established as a foundation, that no matter what storm comes, that we can't be knocked off of it, that we hold on to that, that love is the basis and our foundation of our lives, that we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, we love our neighbor as ourselves, and that Jesus said that is by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples by the love that ye have the one for another, that we would learn to have that love. And where it says verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. That we understand that that God Himself, the blessings of God, the truths of God are unfathomable. They're infinite. They're something that we cannot comprehend, that no matter how much we try to see where the end of it is, we never will find the end. And sometimes what happens is that we get this thought, well, I know I can never find the end, so why would I even bother looking? But what the Lord wants us to do is to try it out, to see how far that it goes. It's kind of the thought that if we get something new, say if we get a new truck or get a new tool or something like that, we kind of want to test it out. We want to push it to its limits. We want to see how much it can do, how much we can accomplish with it. But of course, whenever we do that, we always know we have to be a little bit careful because we don't want to break our new truck or our new tool. We know there's a limitation somewhere there, but we do want to try to test that out. And what the Lord wants us to do with Him is to push Him to His limits. He wants us to try Him out. He wants us to see, well, how broad does it go? How high is this? How deep is God's love? He wants us to see, and it's something that we don't have to hold back and think, well, I don't want to try this out because then I might find out that the Lord will fail me, or that the Lord doesn't quite go this far. It's something that when we try it out, we're proven that it's far beyond what we imagine. That no matter how far we go, that it is beyond us. That God does not fail us. That God does not fall short. And in some ways, it's sad because I think in many ways in our Christian life, we're kind of content with playing in the shallow end, that this is safe, this is easy, this is comfortable. And the Lord wants us to launch out in the deep. He wants us to see how great it can be, how full His life that He wants for us can be. And we see verse 19, it says, to know the love of Christ with pathless knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And that we would understand the love of Christ to us, word how unworthy we were of it, yet He loved us anyways. We see in Ephesians 2, verse 4, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. That there is so much to His love that we want to grasp, that we want to know it, we want to be moved by it, we want to be constrained by it. When we interact with other people, that we want to share with them the love of God that He has. I know it's been interesting. I've been keeping in contact with Dennis, a fellow who works on the oil rigs. He just got saved this last February, and it's neat to see his heart, that he's out there on the rigs, and he wants to tell people about the Lord and. It doesn't always go well, but he was able to share with this one fellow, and he got saved, and it was just such a blessing to hear that. Just he knew where he was and how the Lord loved him and how He saved him, and he saw these other guys that were just in the same position that he was just a year ago, and he wants to share that God's love with them as well. And that's what we want to do. We want to know it, and then we want to know it so that we can share it with others. And it says also that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. That we realize that God wants to share Himself with us. That He wants to be a part of our lives. He doesn't want to just be where He touches us for a brief moment in the day and then we don't have anything to do with Him. He wants to be close with us. He wants to share Himself with us. He wants to bring us into His image. And we want to understand this plan that He has, that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. But sometimes I think we set the goals for our Christian life too low, that we look at it, well, I'm a Christian, I got saved so I could get out of hell. I got saved so life would be easier to manage. I have all these troubles and so I need God for that. I have some difficult days and so I need God for that. But the Lord wants us to see there's so much more for us that He wants to give to us. I remember one evangelist, Brother Detoit, that he gave the illustration in South Africa that there was these farmers that they had farmed on this land for many years and they'd always kind of just gotten by, just always they made a living, but they never got rich or anything. And they had these guys came in and said, well, we want to buy your land. We're going to give you a lot of money for your land. And it was more money than they thought it was worth. And they thought, well, we'd never ever get any money for this kind of money normally. And so they jumped at it and they sold their land. But then within just a short time, they found that the people that bought it, they knew that there was diamonds beneath the land, that they opened a mine and there was just this rich treasure trove of diamonds, and that they were sitting on this all this time and they never realized it. And I think that's so often what happens in our Christian life, that we don't see how far it goes, we don't test out the breadth and length and depth and height, that we just take in sort of just a little bit of what the Lord has for us, and there's this diamond mine of blessings beneath that the Lord wants to share with us, and He just wants us to put the shovel in the ground, get us to see what's there. And so may we do that we might truly be filled with all the fullness of God. And we see verse 20, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And the phrasing of that is interesting, of how we understand that He is able to do all that we ask or think. He is able to do above all that we ask or think. He is able to do even abundantly above all that we ask or think. But where it says exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. How in many ways that the Lord wants us to prove Him, to test Him out. That He wants us to, our faith to be extended. He wants us to see that He is able to do far beyond what we imagine. That there is nothing too hard for the Lord. That I think so often we miss out on His blessings because of our lack of faith. That we don't ask. We have not because we ask not, as it says in James. And so may we realize that we might ask these things. That we realize that when we put our trust in the Lord, where we put our faith in Him, we will not be ashamed. And we see that it is according to the power that worketh in us. The same power that works in us, that energia, that dunamis, that transforms us as sinners into Christ's image, that's the same power that will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so we see, unto this one, unto the Lord Jesus Christ, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, that we honor God, that it is... And we understand that, as it says, unto Him be glory in the church, that as a church, that we would bring glory to Him, that throughout all ages, that He would be honored in all that we do, all that we say, how we conduct ourselves, how we fellowship one with another. That we realize this whole purpose that the Lord has for us individually, collectively, to bring glory to Him, to partake of His essence, His presence, His whole personality, that we would be made into His image, that we would enjoy His blessings, that we would be able to partake of the great blessings that He has. And so is my prayer with each of us, that we would gain a renewed appreciation of what Christ has done for us, that we realize that there is so much that He wants to give us, and it's a matter of us of seeking it out, that it's there, and that we want to take hold of it, that we want to realize that this is something that He has a purpose for us down throughout all the ages, and we don't want to miss out on any portion of it, that we would, as it says, that we would know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this portion, Lord. We thank You for the glimpse it gives of what we have in You because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. Lord, we just pray that You would help us to realize how much You have for us, Lord. Help us to seek it out, to just value it, Lord, and cherish You, and to go ever deeper, Lord, in our love for You, in our understanding of Your Word. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand and we'll turn to hymn number 324 and sing Draw Me Near, hymn 324.